The Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday in Lent from Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, "Abraham." Abraham answered, "I am here." God said, "Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains there, the one to which I direct you." Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac, his son. Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering. Then he set out to go to the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and loaded it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire pot and the knife in his hand. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "I am here, my son." He said, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them went on together. They came to the place that God had told him about. Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood, tied up Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham said, "I am here." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham looked around and saw that behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." So it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "I have sworn by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you greatly, and I will multiply your descendants greatly, like the stars of the sky and like the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the city gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, open our eyes to see your love. Amen. When you go to Martin Luther College, there is one particular professor who walks into the room, and when he does, you're watching very closely to see what color his tie is. Because if he walks in with a red tie on, it's quiz day. Pop quiz. Are you ready? If he asked you, you'd probably say, "Of course. Of course, I really, really paid attention yesterday and definitely, definitely reviewed everything and studied last night. Yeah, I'm ready for the quiz." And he's probably thinking, a professor who's seen so many students throughout the years, so many students say that but not actually be ready, he's probably thinking, "Oh yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Are you ready for the quiz?" In a way, today, God walks in with a red tie to quiz us, to test us. Are you ready? Have you been reviewing? And what is he testing? He's testing our faith. We see that in a big way. In Genesis chapter 22, we see this giant test of faith that God gives to Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of our faith. Here's a guy you'd expect to pass every test with flying colors. But if you know a bit about Abraham, you know that sometimes he didn't pass the tests. Abraham had ups and downs in his spiritual life. And one of them maybe was back in Genesis chapter 15, when God appeared to Abraham. Wouldn't you be excited if that happened? God appeared to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward." In other words, "Abraham, I'm all that you need. You've got me." And Abraham responds, "What can you give me since you haven't given me a son?" God says, "Here I am." And Abraham says, "What about a son?" And God, in all of his grace, responds to Abraham and says, "Yes, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to fulfill all my promises. I'm going to give you that promised child, Isaac. He's going to come from you, Abraham, 100 years old, from Sarah, 90 years old, people as good as dead. I'm going to give you a son, but more importantly, that son is going to be in the line of the Savior, and from that Savior, the whole world will be blessed. So yes, this is what I'm giving you, Abraham." And then we have that shining verse in the Old Testament, "Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness." Counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham trusted God. But then God walks in with a red tie in Genesis 22. And this wonderful, miracle, promised child who was like life from death now becomes the battleground. God comes to Abraham. Genesis 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, "Abraham." Abraham answered, "I am here." God said, "Now take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains there, the one to which I direct you." Here's the test. Does Abraham trust God just because God gave him a son? Just because God had been so good to him? Will Abraham trust God when God takes it all away? God's almost gentle in the command. It's like he can tell that this seems like a monstrous thing to ask. He appears to Abraham and he says, "Abraham, take your son." "My son? The one that matters most to me in the world? The one you gave me? My son, take your son, your only son." God, anything else? Anything else? He's all I have. "Whom you love." God says, "I know. I know how much you love him. I know how much this will hurt. Take him and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, the one I show you." And you could think of all the reasons that Abraham could come up with not to do this. The same ones we would have. "God, this is ridiculous. I know you're not a God like that. You don't like child sacrifice. This doesn't make sense." And that you would take Isaac, the promised child, we need him for Jesus to come. So why? What a test. And we have tests like this too. Are we ready? I told this story to my kids as a bedtime story this week. You guys remember? And I asked them, "What if God came to you and asked you to give up the thing that's most important to you in the world?" And one of them said, "Well, God's the most important thing to me in the world, and he wouldn't ask me to give that up, so this would be easy." Oh, child. We'll see. We'll see the next time a sibling has a toy that you want. We'll see then if God is the number one in your life or if all of a sudden it becomes that toy. I don't think we'd answer as confidently, well, that would be easy. Because we know, like Abraham, we've had ups and downs. We know that when God has tested us in ways that sometimes we answer with doubt instead of faith. Sometimes we run the other direction instead of going to do what he tells us to do. And no, God's not asking any of us to sacrifice our kids. You're right if you think God wouldn't ask that. He doesn't. He doesn't make Abraham do that. God gives us clear words in the Bible, though. And he tells us how to live for him, how to show our faith. He tells us what to sacrifice in order to show that he's number one. And sometimes it's big things. Can you sacrifice your doubt when God takes a loved one away? Can you say, I trust you still? When it seems like everything in your life that you love the most is being taken away from you, do you still trust him? Those are the big things. What about the small things? When God tells you, I want you to sacrifice an hour this morning to stay focused and receive my blessings. I'm giving you good things. Oh, can I do that? It's hot. Or when God says, I want you to sacrifice a little time during the week so I can bless you with devotions. Man, this week, that day? No, God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our children, but he does tell us to make sacrifices in our lives that show our children that they're actually not what's most important to us. Our God is. And we want to show that to them. Now, we have ups and downs. And it's difficult because what do we see when God walks in with the red tie? Often all we see is the test. That's what Abraham saw. He sees the knife. He sees how he's going to make the fire. He sees the wood that his son is carrying up the mountain. And we read, on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the mountain. This is all Abraham sees. It's not like God appears after that and is walking with him. Oh, it's okay, Abraham. It's going to be fine. No, all he knows is that there's the mountain where I'm going to lose my son. All he sees is the test. But he trusts that he will see something else. On that mountain, in the middle of this test, he trusts that he will see the Lord provide. And that's what we'll see too. The Lord will provide. That was Abraham's answer to the question on this quiz. They're halfway up the mountain. Isaac going willingly, old enough obviously to carry wood. He trusts his father. He trusts his God. He's going along with it. But he does look at his father and say, my father, where's the sacrifice? Like our kids sang this morning. Gut-wrenching. Child to the father, where's the sacrifice? And he looks at his son and he says, literally, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. This is what we call retrieval practice. That's what some professors call quizzes. They don't like calling them quizzes. Maybe you had professors like this. Instead of calling them quizzes, they called them learning opportunities. Oh, that sounds better. But as hard as it is to believe in the moment, professors don't give quizzes to torture you. And they don't give quizzes because they love correcting. They give quizzes for the good of the student, to give them a chance to learn, to show their learning, to give them a challenge so they can grow. And some professors call quizzes retrieval practice. And what is that? It's practice to retrieve the knowledge that you've learned. Practice bringing back those things that you know and learning how to use them and making them more solid so you can use them in your life. That's what God is doing for Abraham here. This isn't for God. It's for him. It's for Abraham. That's who the test is for. And you can see Abraham showing his faith. You can see him retrieving all those things the Lord has taught him in the past. What happens when God says, do this, Abraham? Abraham goes. He gets up early in the morning. Would you set your alarm for this? 5 a.m., I'm going to go sacrifice my son. He does it because he trusts his God. He gets up, he gets the wood, he gets the knife, he gets the fire. Off he goes, 3 days, 30-mile hike, all the while knowing what's at the end of this hike, and he goes. And he goes up the mountain, and when his son looks at him and says, where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. He knew that. When God called him when he was 75 years old to leave his homeland, he said, leave here and go to a place I'll show you. And Abraham couldn't see anything but the test. But he knew that God could see more. That the Lord had the big picture, that the Lord saw the promised land, that the Lord knew what he was going to do for Abraham. He was going to bring him there and fulfill his promises to him. Abraham knew that in this moment the Lord would provide, because he always had. It's retrieval practice. That's what it is for us too. When it seems the Lord is testing you, it's not for him. It's for you. It's for your good. It's a chance for you to grow in your faith and to show the faith that God has given you. Because it's a chance for you to remember all the things, the wonderful things that God has done for you in the past. And trust, even when he seems so far away. That's what happens on the mountain. The Lord provides. Abraham is on the mountain. All he can see is death. He's standing over his son. The knife is raised up. And what happens? The Lord provides. The angel of the Lord appears and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't touch him. Because now I know that you fear God. Now I know. Oh, God knew. But like a proud professor showing the student how much he's learned, God says to Abraham, look, you don't just trust me when it's good. You don't just trust me because of what I give you. You trust me. And you've shown incredible faith by what you've done. Look at this. Look at my power. Look at what I provided for you. And what does God provide after that? Abraham looks up and sees a ram caught in a thicket. And he went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. So it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. When all Abraham could see was the test, God let him see something else. That God provided. That God had seen to it all. A ram caught in a thicket, a substitute sacrifice in place of his son. So that Abraham could know in a new way, faith in God is always well placed. You know this too. When the tests come, it's time for retrieval practice. And you don't have to look much further than this story and all the promises foreshadowed here. When all that you can see is death, you remember the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, who stands next to you and says, death, you can't touch him. You can't touch her. Just like God provided this on the third day, Jesus rose on the third day to show that death cannot harm us or those we love. When you wonder, have I passed the test? Should I be the one who suffers? Remember, the Lord provides. Father, where's the sacrifice? It's not you. It's your Savior. Not caught in a thorny bush, but wearing a crown of thorns and dying in your place so that you know God would never ask for this sacrifice from you. He paid the sacrifice in your place. when you think this test is so difficult. Will my faith be strong enough? Will I pass the quiz? Look what God did for Abraham and Isaac. That he gave them this faith, a living and active and mighty faith that could trust God all the way up that mountain and back. And that's the faith that God gives to you. Because it's not the strength of the faith that matters, right? It's the strength of the person you're believing in. Trust your Savior. In those moments when it's difficult, will I pass the test? We'll see. Oh, we will see. We'll see how strong Jesus is. The one who defeated the devil's temptations in the wilderness with the Word of God is the same Jesus that lives in your heart through faith. He is with you. And even when you can't see him and it seems he's far away, you hold on to his promise that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And when you hold on to that promise, when you're ready to bring it up at a moment's notice, well, then you can be like one of those crazy students who actually likes quizzes. You know them. You probably didn't like them in school. The professor comes in, he's wearing the red tie, and they go, "Yes, I'm going to ace this bad boy." This is our prayer. It's a bold prayer. Psalm 26 gives it to us. It says, "Test me, Lord. Test me. Examine me. Refine my thoughts and my emotions, for your mercy is in front of my eyes, and I keep walking in your truth. Test me. Test me, Lord." We want to be tested, yes, because what will we see when God tests us? His mercy in front of our eyes, his truth to guide our way. What will we see? We'll see the Lord provide. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.